Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. I'm John Steele. This is going to be another solo pod. I know that regular listeners are probably wondering if Stuart Smith and I have had some kind of massive bust up, we can't work together anymore. That would be more interesting than the reality. Sadly, it's just the case that our schedules are not aligning right now and it's difficult for us to get together and record a show. Nevertheless, we continue undaunted. So in this solo pod, I'm going to be wrapping up the weekend, or last weekend's J3 action, all the games from round 22 of the season. Only 12 games left in the J3 campaign now, so things are starting to get serious. Now, at the top of the table, Akita march on. We could probably characterise it as more of a brisk walk than a march at the moment, though. They drew 0-0 at home with 9th-placed Fujieda over the weekend. Akita had an early chance when Ken Hisatomi's shot was cleared off the line, but after that, Fujieda had most of the chances, really. Yasuhito Morishima went close twice, and Akita's goalkeeper, one of my candidates for player of the season, Yudai Tanaka, saved well from Tsugutoshi Oishi as well. Fujieda had Ryosuke Matsuoka sent off for his second yellow card in the 87th minute, and in the end, a draw was probably a fair result from this game. That goalless stalemate leaves Akita 12 points clear at the top, with 12 matches to go. We should mention 22 games unbeaten, absolutely incredible stuff. Fujieda on 32 points in 9th place, no wins in any of their last 5 games. Now, I think we're sort of crowning Akita as champions already, if we're being honest, but it's getting very interesting behind them. Nagano are up to 2nd, with Kumamoto 3rd, but they're level on 42 points at the moment. Nagano beat Hachinohe 3-1 at Nagano U Stadium in a very entertaining game over the weekend. Hachinohe were actually in front at half-time, a very nice goal from someone who was really impressive on the day, Takaya Kuroishi, but Nagano came back strongly and equalised on the hour through another player who's been impressive all season, Naoki Sanda, 8 goals for him in 2020. And Sanda turned provider shortly afterwards. He crossed for Ibuki Yoshida to make it 2-1, and a superb dipping strike at the end of the game from Shuto Kamira sealed things for Nagano, winning 3-1. Hachinohe down in 16th place. I think, you know, the season's over for them in any real sense, but Nagano continuing to impress, in second place, and looking a good bet for the second automatic promotion spot at the moment. Still a lot of football to be played, I suppose. Now, Kumamoto, I mentioned their third. They'll feel that they dropped 2 points over the weekend. They drew 0-0 away against 15th placed YSCC at Mitsuzawa Stadium. Kumamoto did almost win it in second half stoppage time. Kohei Kuroki rattling the YSCC crossbob. Yeah, it finished goalless. And for Kumamoto, that's only 1 win in the last 5 games for them. So their form has slipped pretty dramatically over the last month or so. You have to wonder if they can steady the ship and have a real promotion push, because the teams around them seem to be coming into form, like Nagano, for example. Now, in fourth place, we see Sagamihara, who seem to have kind of sneaked into fourth, as far as I'm concerned. Haven't really noticed them climbing the table over the last couple of rounds, but at the moment, yeah, they're fourth. They're only 3 points behind Nagano and Kumamoto, but they needed a last-gasp equaliser to take a 1-1 draw at Sanuki, second bottom side in the league, at the weekend. Sanuki looked like they were going to get a much-needed win here. A very nice team goal finished off by Yuki Morikawa in the 53rd minute had put them in front. And there was no Romulo up front for Sagamihara. He wasn't in the squad for this game. But they did have Yuri, another Brazilian striker, on the bench, and he came on to add some firepower in the second half. And Sagamihara's equaliser came in the 6th minute of second half stoppage time. This is very much in keeping with Sanuki's season. I think only 5 minutes of stoppage time was actually indicated by the referee, but they ended up playing into a 6th minute and Sagamihara scored. A great time for their rookie Tatsuya Shirai to fire in his first J-League goal. So yeah, it finished Sanuki 1, Sagamihara 1. Sagamihara now 7 games unbeaten. As I mentioned, they kind of sneaked into 4th place in the table. For me, I'm still not sure if they're the real deal or not. If they can keep that good form going, yes, they'll have a chance of a promotion. But it's kind of weird to be talking about them as a promotion contender, because they haven't really looked like it for most of the season, but we'll see. Now, in fifth place, we're talking about another team that's in a good run of form, Kagoshima. They were on a run of three straight wins going into their home game against Seretse Orsakas under-23 side at the weekend. However, this ended up finishing goalless. I'm not sure how. It was a very entertaining game with lots of chances, good saves from both goalkeepers. We should mention Stu and I have often criticised Seretse's Ahn Junsu, but he made some good saves. And Minoru Hata, who was in goal for Kagoshima, making his first appearance of the season, actually, he made some good saves as well. So yeah, Kagoshima 5th, and that 0-0 draw ends their run of three straight wins. Seretse stay bottom of the table, two draws and two defeats in their last four games. In sixth place, we find FC Gifu. Stuart's not here to give his side of the story, but they are sixth in the table, but they went down to a third straight defeat, this time 2-1 at home to 14th placed Fukushima over the weekend. Both sides changed their goalkeepers for this one. Gifu replaced Takuya Matsumoto, who's been out of form recently, with Park Sung-soo. And Fukushima put Kento Watanabe into the nets for his J-League debut. Akira Fantini, the regular number one, was dropped down to the bench. Strange game, this one. No goals until the 85th minute. And then Fukushima scored twice, a pair of textbook counter-attacking goals, first from Riku Hashimoto, and then their captain, Ryosuke Tamura. Gifu managed to pull one back right at the death in the third minute of stoppage time, a volley from Yuta Togashi. It was actually a very nice finish, but it was too little too late. So Gifu, sixth place in the table. You wouldn't want to count them out of the promotion picture just yet, but they really do need to improve quickly. Three straight defeats, not what the doctor ordered at Nagaragawa. Just to round up some other games from the round 22 action over the weekend, Tottori drew 1-1 at home with Gamba Osaka's under-23 side. Now, Tottori had an absolutely perfect start in the sunshine at Yajin Stadium this game, not their more regular Axis Stadium. Tottori attacked from the kickoff, and Gamba's goalkeeper Jun Ichimori brought down Yuya Taguchi for a penalty kick after about 15 seconds. I did do some quick Googling. I've been very busy this week, but I was trying to find out if that's the fastest ever penalty awarded in the J-League. It's got to be up there. I couldn't find conclusively whether it's the fastest one ever. But yeah, penalty for Tottori inside 15 seconds. Taguchi dusted himself down and scored to put the home side in front. But Gamba managed to equalise on the hour, and it was an absolutely brilliant finish from Ryusei Sugano. Worth checking out the highlights if you haven't seen them yet. So it finished 1-1, leaving Gamba in 12th place in the table. For Tottori, they're in 7th, but out of form and 8 points off the promotion places. So it looks like, they'll be in J3 again in 2021, I'm fairly confidently predicting. It seems like a long time since they were second. They were second in the table for a good long while earlier on in the season. Also on a kind of Tottori news tip, I think it was announced today officially that their veteran Brazilian midfielder forward Fernandinho is retiring at the end of this season. Good luck to him, whatever he does next. He's always been a pleasure to watch in the J-League, and he's going to finish his playing career at Tottori this season. Now, Ima Barry drew 0-0 at home with Numazu. I think that sentence says everything we need to say about this game. Not a great deal of really intense goalmouth action, but it leaves Ima Barry 8th and Numazu 13th in the table. Iwate got an away win and a clean sheet, winning 1-0 at Toyama, a result that means Toyama are in 10th and Iwate 11th in the table. The crucial goal was a bit of a controversial one from a Toyama perspective. A cross from the left hit the Toyama defender Yasuma Kawasaki's arm. A penalty kick was awarded by the referee, but Kawasaki was protesting that he'd actually been standing just outside the penalty area when the offence occurred. Anyway, the penalty was given, and Iwate's Brazilian forward Brenner scored the penalty, his first ever J-League goal, I think. That was in the 61st minute, so Iwate going 1-0 up after about an hour. The next 30 minutes, Toyama threw absolutely everything at Iwate trying to equalise, but they just couldn't do it. They did hit the bar late on. I think a draw probably would have been a fair result, but well done to Iwate. They got a big away win and a clean sheet. They'll be very pleased with that. So that's all the action from the weekend games in J3, round 22. As a tricky Brucey bonus, there was a midweek game this Wednesday night. Now, a game that was postponed because of bad weather back in round 12 was finally played on Wednesday night, and Toyama were in action again. They hosted Hachinohe in a game that finished 1-1. Hachinohe will probably be reasonably pleased. It ends a run of six straight defeats for them. Toyama made 10 changes from the side that had played Iwate on the weekend, so they looked a bit disjointed at times, as you'd expect. They did go in front, though, with a header from Hayate Take in the 54th minute. But Toyama then conceded a penalty in the second half, conceding a second half penalty for the second time in 4 days. This was with 15 minutes to go. Junki Mawatari brought down Hachinohe's lone striker, Yosuke Kamigata, inside the area, and he got up to score the penalty to earn Hachinohe a draw. So that midweek game finished Toyama 1, Hachinohe 1. Okay, before I disappear, I'll look ahead quickly to the weekend games. It's round 23 coming up over the weekend. Just one game on Saturday, October the 24th, and that's Toyama at home again, this time hosting YSCC, a 2 p.m. kickoff. Let's hope they don't concede a penalty for the third game in a row. The rest of the games are all on Sunday, October the 25th. 1 p.m. is the preferred kickoff time. 6 games kicking off at 1 p.m. We have Hachinohe hosting Kagoshima. That's 5th place, travelling to 16th. Iwate host Gifu. That's 6th place, visiting 11th. Fukushima host Nagano. 2nd place Nagano, bang in form, travelling to 14th place Fukushima. And the leaders Akita visit Numazu. So a theme, I think, for the Sunday. That's 1st against 13th, by the way. So it's kind of a theme of teams in the sort of top quarter visiting mid-table sides on Sunday. The other 1 o'clock games are Fujieda against Tottori and Imabari against Saniki. At 2 p.m. we have, I suppose you could call it big, it's the Osaka Derby. Seretse Osaka under-23s hosting Gamba Osaka under-23s. That game's going to be at Yanmar Nagai Stadium. And one game at 3 p.m. which, to be honest, it's the last game on the slate. It's probably one of the bigger games of the weekend. Sagamihara hosting Kumamoto, 4th place against 3rd place. If I was going to pick one to watch, it'd probably be that one, I think. Fourth against third. Looks like it could be really interesting. And I think we'll get a good sense. You know, Sagamihara have been in form, crept up the table the last couple of rounds. Kumamoto, we know, are a good team, but we also know they're out of form. Very difficult to call this game. It'll be interesting to see which way it goes. A lot could hinge on whether Romulo, Brazilian striker's back for Sagamihara. He's key to most of the good things that happen for them up front. Okay, well, that was a quick review of the round 22 action, the J3 action from last weekend, and a look ahead to the round 23 games coming up this weekend. I hope everybody enjoys the football over the weekend and enjoyed the show. I promise Stuart will be back. He's not locked in my basement or in the boot of a parked car or anything. He's just a busy man. And we'll be back together soon, I think, to talk J2 and J3. But thanks, as always, for listening and downloading. We really appreciate it. Everyone at the pod is grateful. We don't take the support for granted, and that goes as well for the patrons who support us financially as well and help us to keep the lights on and the microphones recording. So thanks as always for the support, we appreciate it, and enjoy the footy over the weekend. We'll talk again soon. Bye for now.